Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, December 11th, 2018, episode 14.15, the NFL Week 15 show. Well, 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 look who got a win in the challenge game. We'll talk about that, and I will tell you why Steve should have to vacate his win due to an egregious ref error. Not that he cares at all. The Vikings fire their OC, the Cowboys beat Dallas in OT, and the Bears D erased the greatest show on turf. We'll talk about last week, and plus, I'll tell you how the Chargers can become the number one seed in the AFC. And unfortunately, Professor Playoffs has to miss this week. He was ill and could not make an appearance on our show. We'll have him hopefully next week, but I will still give you some playoff scenarios for Week 15. Did I mention Steve won a challenge game? Chop it in, people!
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
Wherever in this great world of ours that you are listening to the show, thank you very much, however you're listening. And Steve, you were laughing during that intro. What's going on?
The fact that you're making such a big deal about me actually winning a challenge game. Did you see that total solar eclipse last night? And Steve won a challenge game.
I mean... I know. I was starting today's intro and I was like, it's got to be about Steve. It's been 6 weeks, buddy.
It has, yes.
Yeah.
It's been a while, so. But either one of the two options I had last week would have won me the challenge.
Yeah. Remember how I was saying, well, I'm going to get off of Minnesota, yep. Which I should have, by the way. I should have. I did not. But still, I want to make my case as to why you should vacate the win. Are you ready?
I know why you're going to ask me to vacate the win, and you know I'm going to say no, even though I agree completely on what you're going to say. So, win is a win, no matter how I get it.
Here you go. The game is 6-0. All right? I get it. 6-0. The Minnesota Vikings are at the Seattle 30-yard line. They're forced to kick a field goal. Warner jumps over the center by placing his hands on the shoulders of two teammates to get over to block the kick. Seattle gets the ball. Of course, Russell Wilson has that great big long run. They score a touchdown, get a two-point conversion, go up 14-0. But before that, during that kick, there is a flag that was thrown by the ref because Warner created what is called the penalty of leverage. You are not allowed to put your hands on either an opponent or a teammate to jump over a line for a block. That is specifically stated in the rule book. You cannot touch an opponent or a teammate. And you can clearly see he's put both of his hands on his teammate so he could jump over the center so he could block the kick. The flag was thrown. And for some inexplicable reason, unknown to anybody but the crazy ref who says, there's no flag, it was legal, let's move on. What? And then every analyst and their dog comes out and says, that was leverage. What in the world happened? That was so egregious that it made the Fail Mary Packers-Seahawks in Seattle on Monday night seem like it was a normal freaking play.
If there hadn't been a flag and the block had happened, we'd still be wondering why.
Correct.
We'd still be saying...
But the flag was thrown!
But he threw the flag and then picked it up. So he saw something and then picked it up. Did they misunderstand the rules themselves? Which, that's a problem.
Which, that's bad. But the problem here is that the flag was thrown. The ref that threw the flag, does he have no spine? I mean, literally, the ref that threw the flag has no spine because everyone else came up to him and said, hey, dude, there was no leverage. Said, all right, pick up the flag. And they pick up the flag when every angle showed him putting his hands on the shoulder pads to jump over and block the kick. Now, let me just tell you here, Steve, and why I'm looking for a vacation of this win. All right? Are you ready for this?
I'd love to hear it.
Instead of Seattle ball, they moving down to score a touchdown to make it 14-0. Minnesota gets a 15-yard penalty. Now they have first and 10 from the 15-yard line. Now, look, they were playing stinky poo-poo anyways, but we don't know what would have happened. They could have scored a touchdown, made it 7-6. They could have kicked a field goal, made it 6-3. It would have changed the dynamics of the entire rest right. of the football
if,
game.
If Seattle, the previous play, had scored the touchdown with the 2 points to go up 14-0,
right.
then maybe the momentum might not have swung, even if they'd kicked the field goal or gotten a touchdown or something.
But this
game was deadlocked at 6-0 up until that block.
Yes, and later on, there's a rant that's coming up on refs. Because as a Cowboy fan, I'm ever going to ref that the Cowboys got some great freaking calls in that game, which is bad for refs and for the NFL. I'm going to take the win because we got the W in overtime. But there were some really bad calls in that game. There were some really bad calls in the Miami-New England game.
Yep.
And there were some really bad calls. I'm talking about horrible calls in Oakland-Pittsburgh.
There have been a couple of weeks of really bad calls.
What is it, the
Monday night games that they've been putting the dream teams together of crews that don't work together?
Yeah, those dream teams, they're seeing different football games than everybody else is. So I've got a rant on refs in the National Football League. But, I mean, did I make a good enough point for you to
– No.
You're keeping the win.
Very much. I'm keeping the win.
Does it remind you of Jeff a little bit? Jeff would never vacate, even though it was so, so bad.
Oh, it was a horrible call. But that's not my fault, is it? I don't see why I need to give up my first win in 6 weeks because somebody else made a bonehead call.
All right. Cool. I'm just saying that.
Now, remember this because at some point. I will come, I'll reverse
tables,
it,
the tables and will return. Okay.
You can remind me of my very firm stance to this.
Yes,
position.
I will play minute 7 of episode 14.15. All right, let's move on. The Minnesota Vikings, because of that horrendous offensive performance, decided to fire their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. And do you agree with, everybody was looking. Look, the Vikings were humming. They beat the Packers on Sunday Night Football. It looked like, you know, they had a good, great momentum going forward. Then they get crushed by the Bears. And then you have Monday Night Football against Seattle and 3 straight losses, and they're not looking too good.
I mean, I guess you have to do something. With the expectations the Vikings came in with, the fact that they're not there, but this seems...
Do you know what the problem is? Steve, I'm gonna give it to you honest. Right here. They paid $86 million for a quarterback that's not a quarterback. He is not the guy. I don't know where they thought they had found the guy, but Kirk Cousins is not the guy.
No.
And he's going to hurt that team having committed highway robbery and taking $86 million from that franchise. 0-7 in primetime games.
Yeah. And I have a hard time believing that John is the one who made the decision to bring Cousins in.
Yeah, that's true too.
Right. I mean, that's a GM of head coach. That's not typically your offensive coordinator. So
I do like what Zimmer said. Zimmer has a valid point. He's like, look, when you hire a guy, I feel you should stick with him. You should try and help him mature as a coach, have him get through his problem. He's like, unfortunately, with the timing of the situation, we got 3 games left. I can't let this season be wasted. He knows they got to win at least 2 out of the next 3 games, possibly needs to win them all.
Right.
For them to even get into the playoffs. So I'm with Coach. I understand something's got to happen. But for him to say, look, the timing and situation with the last 3 games, we still have an opportunity. I don't want the season wasted.
We'll get into some of the playoff scenarios at some point
yep.
tonight.
Yes.
And one of them is that apparently both the Packers and Lions have a very random outside chance to get in, but one of the things that requires that to happen is that the Vikings have to lose twice.
Two out of three, though. They could very possibly lose one of those.
Is against the Bears, so that could be a loss. So that's the other two are Miami and
the Lions. And the Lions, who could possibly get in with
three wins. Playing. I mean, much like the Packers, they need a lot of help from outside, but they're not eliminated yet.
Packers and Lions need help, but they could still get to the
playoffs. If somehow the Vikings lose those two and miss the playoffs, is Zimmer's job on the line? After the expectations that were put on them this season, the money they spent on Cousins, do I start to look at Zimmer of, you didn't get this done when we needed? So is this Zimmer protecting himself, or did he find something flawed with DeFilippo?
I think that is a good question, man. I don't think Zimmer loses his job, because he's made the Vikings relevant over the last several years.
Right. Yeah, he's had constant improvement, with the exception of this season, he has shown consistent improvement year over year that he's been with the
Vikings. Right, so I think he's built some credits there. I don't think he has to fear for his job, but I think he definitely needs to figure out what's going on the offensive side of the ball. Because, look, the defense is keeping them in a bunch of games. It's not like they're getting blown out. I think, really, outside of that week three fiasco up in Buffalo where they got blown out, there really has not been a blowout for the Vikings. They've been in every game.
Right.
And that's a credit to Zimmer's defense. But offensively, they have regressed. I don't think they're using Dalvin Cook the way they've been using him in the past. Definitely got to give him more touches. And I don't like how stale their passing game had gotten. You've got Diggs and Thielen who would be number ones on any team, and you got them both on your team. You got a pretty stud wide tight end, and you got a running back who catch the football out of the back. They shouldn't be as stale as they've gotten. So I think this had to be, like Zimmer said, look, you don't want to fire your OC. I brought him in, but here we are. We got three games to go. We got to do something about our offense. I also like that he started out, look, there is no one single person that deserves the blame for how poorly we're playing. But you got to look at the offense and – starts with the OC. So I don't think Zimmer is in danger, but he's right. Don't waste the season, man. You got to get going. Let's see what else we've got here. Oh, those tricky, tricky Oakland Raiders, man. Oh, man. So here we go. A team that is known for being litigious, the Oakland Raiders. They sue everybody and sue the league more than any other team has. It's getting a taste of their own medicine, Steve. The city of Oakland is suing not only the Raiders, but the entire NFL, all 32 teams, because they feel that the Raiders and the way the Raiders have bailed is really damaging the city.
What did they call the NFL? What did the city of Oakland call the NFL? The cartel.
Did they say that? That's awesome.
No, I'm sorry. I can't credit that to – I don't know if that's in the lawsuit or if it's just somebody talking.
Or if it's somebody who said that, yeah. The city of Oakland filed a federal lawsuit against the NFL and all 32 teams, including the Raiders. The city attorney for Oakland, Barbara J. Parker, said in a press release, the defendants brazenly violated federal antitrust law and the league's own policies when they boycotted Oakland as a host city. The Raiders' illegal move lines the pockets of the NFL owners – and sticks Oakland, its residents, taxpayers, and dedicated fans with the bill. The purpose of this lawsuit is to hold the defendants accountable and help to compensate Oakland for the damages the defendants' unlawful actions have caused and will cause to the people of Oakland. So there you go. That's your civil complaint there, federal lawsuit. I don't know really. Look, it's very simple, Oakland, right? You want your team. You have to build them a stadium. I mean, the Coliseum or the O.co or the, whatever the name is today, Coliseum Stadium in Oakland is a pit. It is literally three steps above the pit of despair in the Princess Bride. That's how bad that stadium is. All right? It's so bad that the Pittsburgh Steelers line up to kick a game-tying field goal to force overtime, and the kicker slips in the muck that is that stadium floor.
Like he's slipping on a banana in a cartoon. I mean, it was...
I'm actually still trying to find video proof of a banana peel right there, because that's exactly what it looked like. That is how bad the floor, the seats,
the grass,
the mixed with the dirt, because they won't put a new stadium in there. That's just how bad it is. So I understand you're going to lose money because, look, 8 games a year, they bring in a lot of money. A lot of people fly into Oakland for that football game. I get it. City's going to lose money. But you could have fixed that problem with at least – and they weren't, like, asking you to pay for the whole stadium. They just wanted you to pony up some of it, and they didn't want to do it. So now they feel that they can sue the league? The cartel, if you will, of sports?
It'll be interesting because the Raiders still don't have anywhere to play next year.
Well, and that's my other question. Where are the Raiders going to play next year?
They have one more game in Oakland.
Yes.
And then they will play. And they will play that, but then they're done. They don't have
But don't you
with
think
the lawsuit
would wanna...
and everything else, there's no way that the city is going to have the Raiders back, and I don't know that the Raiders, with the lawsuit, want to be back in Oakland for another season.
So, look, check this
out.
But
their stadium won't open for another year. So
last night, the Lakers hosted the Heat, and it was Dwayne Wade's. Dwayne Wade has said that he's going to retire after the season.
Yep.
It was his last game ever at Staples against the Lakers. And the Lakers made this great video tribute to him saying, thank you for all the seasons you've played against us, especially the times you kicked our butts. But, you know, it was really nice.
Yep.
They know going ahead, you know, this is the last time he's ever going to play us.
Yep.
This week, or is it next week? I think it's next week, could be the last time the Raiders ever play in Oakland. Don't you want to have some sort of video tribute like that to the fans and to the city of Oakland?
Well, don't the Raiders control that?
The Raiders are going to go.
Right. So it's not Oakland that's going to put this together to say we're going to miss you, Raiders.
Yeah,
the Raiders are
still going to say goodbye to their fans.
And I'm sure they will.
But they don't know. They don't know if it's going to be the last time they play in Oakland.
Oh, it's going to be the last time they're playing in Oakland.
So where are they playing next year? That's the thing.
They could go to UNLV. Not likely.
Yeah, it's too small.
Well, never mind.
Scratch that. If the Chargers can play in 30,000-seat soccer stadium, yes, they can play at UNLV.
What do the Chargers' old stadium look like down in San Diego?
Qualcomm?
It's Qualcomm.
San Diego for a year?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
You know, Arizona?
I think I heard
heard somewhere that the Cardinals Stadium was built for two teams.
Right.
So they've got the facilities in the stadium to support a second team without, you know, emptying out locker rooms every
week.
Would
they be kind of like the Angels and be the Oakland Raiders of Arizona? Or, well, I mean...
That would be great.
The stadium's in... The
Arizona Raiders for one season.
I think the stadium's in Tempe.
The
Oakland Raiders of Tempe. You know, like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Oakland Raiders of Tempe. Is that what we're looking for? Because, I mean, the Rose Bowl's available. So why don't they come be the Los Angeles Raiders one more time? Los Angeles could say, look at us. We are so great. We have three teams.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we ship them off to Las Vegas.
Because the residents around the Rose Bowl would never let that happen.
No.
That's a whole can of worms that we're not going to get into from the Pasadena area.
Oh, man. Three teams in L.A. That would just be.
Freaking idiot.
Man. Okay. Here we go. just sue. Let's sue the whole league. I want to tell you before we get into our playoff scenarios how the San Diego Chargers can become the number one seed and force the NFL into something crazy, because it would be a divisional playoff game and possibly an AFC championship game in a stadium that only sits 30,000 people. It starts with Thursday night. They beat the Chiefs.
Let's hear it.
They beat the Chiefs Thursday night. Okay? Now, Obviously, it's not
possible.
It's possible, but obviously, it's not going to happen as both you, I, and Lady Edith already were picking the Chiefs.
Well, clearly, we all know the result. I mean, it's only a 3.5-point line, right?
True.
So it's not like this is a 9-point line or something. The Cardinals can play in this game.
Yeah, the Chiefs can play.
Yeah. Cardinals, Chiefs. Is there a difference between the two?
I'm sorry. The Chargers can – look, the Chargers – I thought the Chargers were going to win this game. I had them, clearly. You got an old version of the picks where yep. I had the Chargers. Then I read that not only is Melvin Gordon not going to play, which we already knew that, but Austin Eckler, the other running back, is not going to play. He's hurt too. So now they're going with a bunch of bumblebee tunas at running back. That's who we call players where we don't know who their names are. They're like third and fourth strings. Yeah, bunch of bumblebee tunas. They're coming out to run the football for the Chargers. And I don't know if they're going to – look, they're going to put a lot of pressure and a lot of weight of this game is going to be on Phillip Rivers. And I think Phillip's had a great season. He could probably get it done. But in Kansas City, it may be just a little too much to ask. So but we're back to the number one scenario. They beat the Chiefs, right, here this week on Thursday Night Football. Then I got to get my playoff machine back, all right? Then in week 16, they beat the Ravens and at the same time finish out the season with a win over the Denver Broncos. So they've won 3 games in a row, right? Okay. Now, the Chiefs, besides losing to San Diego on Thursday night, the following week, they got to play Seattle in Seattle. We know how crazy hard it is to play up there, right?
Oh, yes, we do.
If they were to lose that one and the Patriots find themselves with one more loss, the Los Angeles Superchargers catapult themselves into the number one seed. They get a first-round bye. They got home field advantage throughout the playoffs and the divisional game. And if they were to win that, the AFC Championship game would be here in Los Angeles in a stadium that sits only 30,000 people.
I'm still running this through the playoff machine because I don't believe you yet.
You come on! I just gave it to you.
I understand.
The Chiefs lose twice, including the one against San Diego. San Diego wins out, and the Patriots get one more loss. Boom! Scada boom! Scada bam! Bing! I mean, give the Patriots any loss. Who are the Patriots playing over the last 3 weeks? Heck, the Patriots could lose to the Jets. Okay, that's laughable. Let's not give them that loss. Buffalo, week 16. Oh yeah, don't give them that loss. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, they could lose to Pittsburgh this week.
They could. All right.
I mean, it's not crazy.
Lose, win. Chiefs, you said have to lose twice.
Yeah, they would lose against the Chargers and then lose against Seattle because they're not losing the final game against the Raiders.
Well, look at that. Okay. I believe you now.
There you go. So it is conceivable, although highly unlikely, that the San Diego Chargers could be the number one seed and the NFL would have to seriously deal with a 30,000-seat AFC Championship game.
Would they move that game?
They have to, right?
I don't know why they would have to.
Because you can't have 30,000 seats for an AFC, for a championship game, the second biggest game besides the Super Bowl?
Tickets would go up.
Tickets would go way up. Can you imagine how much a ticket would be for a 30,000 seat?
Well, it depends on who they're playing. I mean, it's what?
Anybody. Chargers, Steelers, Chargers, Pats, Chargers, Chiefs.
Yeah, any one of them, the visiting teams would drive that up. But I don't I'm sorry.
And it would
unless,
be a road game
you got a bunch
for
of
the
San
Chargers.
You got a bunch of San Diego County citizens that are still a little bitter that they don't have a team anymore.
And
while we still call them the LA Chargers, they haven't exactly been embraced yet
no,
by the city.
No
I mean,
one's
it's
really
still,
embraced them.
I mean,
I think
it took
the
you
only
until
one,
week like what seven, 10 or something
nine,
to
yeah.
stop calling them the San Diego Chargers.
Yes, that was pretty bad. That was bad on my part.
So it's not like LA fans are going to fill that
Los
stadium.
Los Angeles Superchargers.
But where else would they put them? Are they going to move them to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, it's an AFC Championship game. You got to have a bigger venue.
Because, I mean, it would have to be in L.A., so basically the only options there are the Coliseum
or the Rose Bowl. So
or the Rose Bowl.
Would be tough depending on how the Rams you
Yeah,
know,
it depends on where the Rams are. They still might have first seed. They might end up you know, if the Saints are knocked out earlier.
I just hope someone from the NFL is listening right now. That is a possibility. If the Chargers beat Kansas City Thursday night football, which can happen right now, y'all better start making some calls and stuff, because I don't
think they won't make the decision until the Tuesday before the game.
Okay.
They had bad turf in Mexico for weeks, and they didn't make the call until
the week before. Yeah, true.
6 days before the game was going to be played.
Oh, man. All right. I've got some more NFL playoff scenarios for you. I'm going to start in the AFC. It's pretty easy. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have clinched the playoff berth. They are in. Now, they can clinch the AFC West and a first-round bye by simply beating the Chargers on Thursday night. It's really easy. And they can get the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs by beating the Chargers Thursday night and a loss or a tie by the New England Patriots. The Patriots, who are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, can clinch the AFC title, the AFC East, by winning, beating the Steelers, and having the Dolphins lose or tie. All right? They can also clinch a playoff berth with a win and a loss or tie by the Tennessee Titans. There's another scenario in which they can clinch a playoff berth. But to clinch the East, they need a loss by the Dolphins, and they have to win. It's going to be interesting. It's interesting that it's this late in the season, and the Patriots are still being pushed by somebody in that division. So that's a good thing. The Houston Texans, they're playing the New York Jets in New York. They clinch an AFC South title with a win over the Jets and losses by both the Colts and Titans. Something that can happen. Colts got the Cowboys. Titans are playing the Giants. That can be pretty tough. There are 8 other scenarios in which the Texans can clinch a playoff berth. We're not going to get into all of them today. Finally, the Chargers, they get a playoff berth with a win. All they do is they beat the Chiefs, and they are at least guaranteed a ticket to the dance. There are 6 other scenarios in how the Chargers can clinch a playoff berth. They can also, on Thursday night, lock in the number 5 seed in the AFC, and all that's with a win. So if they win, they're locked in at 5 at worst. That's pretty good. Moving on to the NFC, the New Orleans Saints have clinched the NFC South. Can you believe that? They've got 3 games left, and you've already got the South all locked up.
Well, the Rams had it done last week.
Well, that's true, too. But this is New Orleans. That doesn't matter.
Yeah. New Orleans and
New Orleans doesn't have the benefit of Arizona and San Francisco in their division.
True, yeah.
Okay, there
Look,
you go.
The Saints and the Rams are cream of the crop in the NFC.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. NFC, those are the two teams.
The Bears are your next best team, and they're, what, 2 games back?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The Saints clinch a first-round bye with a win and a Bear loss or tie. The Rams have already clinched the NFC West. They're playing the Eagles this week. They can clinch a first-round bye in the playoffs with a win and a Bear or loss tie. So both the Saints are looking for the Bears to lose. They're saying, hey, somebody beat the Bears, please. They're looking at the Packers right now. They're looking at you, Steve, saying, hey, can you get the Packers to beat the Bears this week? Because we'd be good.
We are going to do our very best as Packer fans
to
do that.
Cool. There you go. The Bears can also clinch a playoff berth with a tie or a loss or tie by the Washington Redskins. So Bears can get in multiple ways. And they will clinch the North with a win.
Yep.
They win this week against the Packers, and the North is theirs. Or the Vikings could lose. Also give them the NFC North. The Dallas Cowboys, they're at Indy this week against the Colts. They wrap up the NFC East title with a win. It's that simple. Or they can tie the game and have losses by both the Eagles and Redskins. That would also give them the East. The other scenario is the Eagles or Redskins each lose. They both lose straight out. Cowboys get the division.
Which is very possible.
Yes, very possible. Who do Redskins have this week? I don't know, but the Eagles have the Rams on Sunday Night Football. That's gonna
be Washington is hosting. No, they're visiting Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, the Jags.
Yeah. 2-3 weeks
Josh
ago.
Josh Johnson looked a lot better than Mark Sanchez.
a couple of weeks ago, I think we know that game would probably go to the Redskins, but today, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be tough. And finally, the Seattle Seahawks, they're at San Francisco facing the 49ers. They clinch a playoff berth very simply with a win. They beat 49ers, and they're in the playoffs. They can also lock in the number 5 seed by winning and a Minnesota Viking loss. And that gives them the number 5 seed, guarantees them that spot. They can do no worse. So there you go. Those are the only playoff scenarios that can clinch this weekend in Week 15. I'd like to thank Professor Playoffs for giving me all this information from his deathbed. He sounded really bad, dude, by the way. He sounded awful.
I can't wait to meet him.
Right.
Let me know, and I'll bring the exposure suit just so I don't
exposure
catch
suit.
Whatever he's...
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to rant. I was going to skip the rant, and we got 30 minutes left in the show. We got a lot of picks, but it's just going to be a brief rant.
Brief rant. Yes. You're known for the brevity of your rants. So please.
So let me begin. Refereeing in the National Football League is getting out of control, to the point where they are significantly impacting the outcomes of games. I have been a big believer as that a game goes along, one play can change the outcome of a football game, one way or the other. You know, my biggest reason for this is field goal kickers. Field goal kickers miss a kick, that significantly changes the outcome of the game because everything that follows that because the kick was missed. Every decision that's made after that is made because the kick was missed. Same goes for refs. Because a call is either made or not made, every decision after that is affected by that call or non-call. And classic example is that game Monday night between Minnesota and Seattle. That non-call of leverage against Seattle gave the ball to Seattle. They should not have had that football. Should not have been theirs.
No, but should.
So not only do they not go up 14-0 immediately, they have to play defense. The defense out is a little bit longer. We don't know whether Minnesota scores a touchdown or kicks a field goal, which then at that score, 7-6 or 6-3, changes every decision that's made after that.
Right.
So these refs, look, the Cowboy game, the offensive pass interference on Goddard against the Philadelphia Eagles that wiped out a 69-yard touchdown, that was the most ticky-tack offensive pass interference call I've ever seen in my life. And it was in favor for the team I support. Okay? The beginning of that football game between the Cowboys and the Eagles, where it's clearly a fumble, and there's 5 Philadelphia Eagles around the football, and there's an Eagle who comes out from the pile with the football in his hands afterwards. You go to replay. You see it's a fumble. You see that the dude, there's no Cowboy around the football at all, and you say that you cannot. Common sense does not tell you, yeah, an Eagle recovered that football because there's not a Cowboy there. How can you say we cannot determine who recovered the football? I get it. There is no visual evidence of the dude scooping up the ball and putting it in his hands. I agree with you 100%. You cannot see that. But common sense does not tell you there are 5 players around this football and they're all wearing a green shirt. You can't determine that one of them recovered the football? Based on that video evidence, there are 5 guys on the football, Steve, and they're all wearing green shirts. There is not a white jersey anywhere near this pile. And one of them comes up with the football at the end. You can't determine he scooped up that ball? That is horrible officiating.
But you didn't see it.
Really?
If I didn't see it, it didn't happen.
And once again, this is a call that helped a team I support. But it was egregious, and it was bad. And that, once again, and that's the first 10 seconds of the game. That play literally affected everything that came out after it. Because the Philadelphia Eagles would have had the ball at the 18-yard line. Who knows what happens? I know for a fact, Cowboys haven't done very well playing from behind. So they fall down early at home. outcome of that game could have been completely different. So it's time for the NFL to stop messing around with these part-time refs. Start hiring full-time refs. You can afford to pay whatever you need to pay these referees so that they can put their careers on hold and come become full-time referees. So really, where all they're doing week in and week out is watching video. How would you have called this? How do you call this? How do you make this call? Know every rule in the rule book just so that someone says rule 18-3B, boom, and they recite it just like that because they know it like the back of their hand.
The way a quarterback can recite a play.
Exactly. That's how full-time refs would be if the league just went to full-time refs and went that way. And we wouldn't have this nonsense because there have been far too many plays that are called or not called that are affecting outcomes of games. And that's not why I watch the game. I don't watch to see number 97 Zebra affect the game. I want to see number 4, number 21, number 19 affect the game. I want to see 94 on defense affect the game. 54 on defense affect the game.
Banana peels in Oakland affect the game.
That's true, too. So that's my thing with the refs. They're getting out of control. They're not calling games properly. And even with replay, they're not getting it right. That's what replay was there, so that we could get it right.
The game is moving too fast to see it live correctly, so we're going to have the replay.
Yeah.
And it's... We've swung to the point with the replay, though, that unless there is clear evidence that they made a bad call, that they're sticking with the call on the field, which... I'm very much mixed on, because you think a few years back when you know, you'd see, I mean, you're talking about caught the ball, did he get 2 feet in bounds?
Yeah.
It was called out, or it was called in or whatever. It was called in on the field, but it's challenged. The replay, it's maybe
not conclusive.
Like if you take your fandom out of a game, because of course it would always be a Packer
right.
game that I'd have the most emotion about this on.
Of course.
You take your fandom Death out of the
caught.
Game.
That was a catch.
Sure. Uh-huh. Then they overturn it.
Yeah.
Up top.
Yeah, that's...
But that, so would you rather have that or have them say, well, you know, we really can't tell, so we're going to go with what's on the field.
Right.
Like, there's not enough evidence. I don't know. I'm very torn.
I understand
that
part of the there's not enough evidence, but they have
it,
to
it's
use...
That,
in
so
that call
aren't
of the
most,
Philadelphia Eagles, there's got to be some common sense.
Aren't most of these officials lawyers?
Yes.
I mean, just...
The majority of them.
Just type of job they've got, right. the technicalities involved with this, that somebody has a law degree, law mind, is typically
correct.
The type of, not exclusively, but a lot. My wife and I were talking earlier today about answering the questions that were asked of you. I mean, they're very technical on, you know.
Right.
I had one of our company lawyers, we were out at an event and we were talking, and at one point he asked, what are the age of your children? And I said, well, I've got 4. And he said, that's not what I asked you.
What so, are the ages of your children?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's with Eagles.
Because I'm going to ascertain you have 4 when you tell me they're 7, 9, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, he's got 4 kids.
Right. So when you're talking about the Eagles, Cowboys fumble.
Yeah.
Look, the next logical step is, well, clearly the only person that could have recovered it, assuming somebody recovered that fumble, was an Eagles player.
Correct.
But that's not what they're reviewing. It was reviewing, did you see whether or not an Eagles player got it?
I understand the letter of the law.
Right. Well, no, and I'm not saying I'm
but
supporting
even in,
them.
But
I'm,
even,
just,
yeah.
I'm saying that that's where...
No, I know
look,
what they're
in,
looking
in,
for.
In my job in pricing the stuff that I do, there's a science and an art to it.
Right.
Right. So the science is we've got all this math and everything that backs up how things should be priced. It's insurance policies. It's really fun and exciting for
yes.
all of the listeners out there. But then there's also a component to it where it's just, it's a bit of an art.
Can I get an insurance policy where I only pay $1 a month for my Corvette?
No.
Damn it.
Well, I don't know. Do you plan on driving it?
Yes.
Then no.
No. Okay. No. All right. So I understand. I understand what they're looking for. But to me, there's got to be some common sense involved.
Right. It has to be that holistic piece of it, not
yeah,
just the
like,
letter of the law.
I understand you're looking for who recovered the football, but it's like if here is a piece of cheese and I put 6 little mice around it with green jerseys, You can say, without a doubt, the cheese was eaten by someone with a green jersey.
All right, so
without seeing them, the cheese, then you take the mice away and all the cheese is gone. You could come to me and say, the cheese was eaten by someone with a green jersey.
So, okay, let's just assume a lot of these calls are a replay scenario.
Right.
How much time do you want to take to review the play? You want 5 minutes?
No, it should be quick. That should be quick.
So you want them to run through multiple scenarios, different outcomes.
Show me all the angles.
All the angles. Not just talking about the letter of the law, but
haven't answered my cheese question.
I'm not going to. So taking into
who ate the cheese, Steve?
Taking into account the how the fans are going to react, what SportsCenter is going to say about it, and take all those into account and get it done in 30 seconds or less. Right?
No,
so there's so much that goes in.
Right,
but my point is when you start trying to get into the art of that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now you've got differing opinions. Should we, shouldn't we? So now you've got a committee of refs reviewing the video. They're taking 5 minutes to review it and discuss it to determine what really, even though the letter of the law as it's written, we can't determine.
Right.
But if we extend a little bit further into what the logic that makes sense based on other outside factors.
You know what? I don't like logic. That's why I could not be a Vulcan. All right. I am not Vulcan fan at all. Because
all I'm trying to say is that in order to add a lot of that art,
you
end up in a problem of.
I can 100% tell you a mouse with a green jersey ate the cheese.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Because there were no mice with white jerseys around the cheese. It was only six of them with green jerseys.
But did you see it on the video replay?
100%. A mouse with a green jersey ate the cheese. That's all I'm saying. All
right. And, so that was 11 minutes that we took to talk about that one.
Damn it. That was not supposed to happen. Enough with the refs,
You brought up mice and cheese. Yeah, I brought up insurance. So, yeah. I mean, we'll call
so
it
even. All right. Let's call
week,
it
week 15.
Week 15 in the NFL, el juego gigante estupendo de la semana. The Los Angeles Chargers at 10-3 travel to Kansas City at 11-2, and my, oh my, it's about time that Thursday night football had a juego gigante estupendo de la semana. It's going to be good. It's going to be big. Where are you watching this game, Steve? I think we need to watch it together. You working late that night?
I don't believe I am. I'll have to.
You have to do what?
I have to check with.
You have to check the schedule. I don't know. Go ahead.
Better half.
Go ahead. Go
sure.
ahead. Hey. Does she watch? Does she listen to the show?
Actually, I do have. This is me.
Does she listen to the show?
I've got a tournament meeting that night.
Oh, Tournament of Roses always getting in the way.
Your employer's got a big float this year.
Do we?
Yeah.
Really?
A big float.
Wow, that's good. What's the theme this year?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. They keep the themes pretty.
But they like a. I mean, the float builders have to know what the theme is.
There are people who know what the theme is.
You just don't.
They don't disseminate that information to the worker bees.
Oh, come on, man. I'm going to find it right now. Don't tell me it's not out there.
Hey, if you can find it on the web, good.
The theme and grand marshal for the 2019 Tournament of Roses Parade is... A page not found.
404 error.
404 error. Page not found. Are you serious? The new theme is publicly announced when the new president takes office the third week of January. So we've known since January.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Are you asking about what Universal Studios float is going to look like?
No. The theme of the Tournament of Roses.
Yeah, it's a celebration of music.
Celebration, the melody of life is what they're calling it. Okay, the melody of life. That's why we're doing it. Probably going to have voice people on or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just
there's
going to
be one of those spinning red chairs on the float. That's it. I'm going to go find out who it is. I'm going to be like, I won't be on the damn float. I want to sing a song. I want to act like Michael Jackson and Luther Vandross all wrapped up into one. Put me on the damn float. You got what I need. Come on, people. All the way down to Flolet, all the way down to Parade. I'm sure that's been decided already. It's not going to be me.
Yeah. Well, and do you really want to be down in Torrance at like 4 a.m.
oh,
to get on a bus and
put
on a float at 6 a.m.?
No. Yeah. I did my 2 years of Tournament of Roses midnight patrol on the street. The only year it's rained, I was there that night. And then I was like, okay, this is too much. I'm crazy. I got better things to do. I should be sleeping. All right. Chargers Chiefs. We all got the Chiefs.
Yep.
And I'm being 100% honest here when I'm saying I had the Chargers, and the only reason I changed is I don't think it's fair for having to put this whole game on Phillip Rivers. Because that's what it's come down to. You don't have a running game, and it's gonna be all on Phillip Rivers. The Chargers appear to be heading into Thursday Night Football showdown without their top two running backs. Anthony Lynn told NFL Network Steve Wyche that the Chargers are not optimistic that running back Melvin Gordon with his knee injury and Austin Eckler with his neck and concussion will be available Thursday night. Lynn noted that the short week doesn't seem like enough time for either running back to get themselves ready for that game.
All right, so I've got the Chiefs with you, but one point of thought here.
Shoot.
So the Chargers have no running game right now.
No.
I mean, they've got running backs, but not their guys. So, the Kansas City defense, when it comes to rushing yards, has actually been fairly good, but their secondary hasn't necessarily been great.
Yes, they've given a lot of yards.
Given up a lot of yards. So they've got, I mean, the Chiefs
have. So advantage Rivers and the Chargers.
Right. So you've got a defense that's traditionally strong against the run. Well, you no longer have a running game. Air the thing out like the Rams did.
Yeah.
Can Rivers stay with them, knowing that the Chiefs are going to throw it right back at him?
It's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be high scoring. I have not checked just yet what the spread. I mean, not the spread. The over under in this game. I'm actually pulling it up right now. So if you can tell me for sure that you're on the Chiefs now, since you've decided to change it. Don't change it on me. Change it on me?
No.
So you – no.
Oh, no. We're so in the, what, 53 range?
So you're sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
All I'm trying to point out is if this goes the other way, I mean, this isn't like a no-brainer that the Chiefs win this game.
Right.
If the Chargers air this ball out and can stay with them through the air, they have every ability to stay in this game. So
wow, man, it's gone up significantly. It opened at 52.5, the over-under. It is now at 56.
Because there's not going to be any running in the game.
Yeah, no, they're going to throw the ball like crazy. That's just, that's pretty.
Has the line moved? Big.
The line has moved.
I mean,
no,
it's 3.5 right now, but
it opened at 3, and it's up to 3.5.
So not too much, but
no.
Kind of what you'd expect when.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's,
you're two running back.
The Chiefs are getting the Chiefs are getting their 3 points from home for being at home. So that makes sense. It's going to be a good game. I thought we could watch it together, but you got some Tournament of Roses thing. Lady Edith, who is trying to make a push to at least get to 50%.
Trying.
She moved up a little bit. She moved up to 46% after a pretty strong showing of 8-8 last week.
She's got some interesting picks this week, though.
She does.
Anyway.
So, but she's got the Chiefs to start off with the big game. Moving on to games of the week. We start in Indianapolis, an early game where these Indianapolis Colts at 7-6, host the 8-5 Dallas Cowboys. All right. This is going to be interesting. I'm just going to nail it. I'm just going to knock it in right now. I'm going to give you a minute to tell me why you got the Indianapolis Colts. Because if it's not strong, I'm going to lock this in as the challenge game right now.
I don't have a good reason for it. They both – both these teams are kind of in the same ballpark, right? Neither one has been blowing out the competition, but both teams have found some good success in the last, third of the season, right? This last, five, six games. The Cowboys are 2-4 away from Jerry World.
Yes.
The Colts are 4-2 at home. So it's really my only justification is the Colts are at home.
Is this a gut feeling?
No, it's not a gut feeling.
No. So
I mean, what's our line? The Colts have a 3 line, so that's the 3 for at home.
So you're leaning.
Colts are favored by 3 from what I could see.
Yep.
So in my mind, it's a little bit more of a, I mean, it's the 3 points for being at home. It's a pick'em game. This game could go either way.
Okay. Well, I'm taking the Cowboys, and I'm also making it my lock of the week. Cowboys getting 3. They're going to win this game outright.
Okay.
So you're going to give me 3 points. I'm going to take the Cowboys. If you're listening out there, lock of the week right here. Lock it in. Dallas is winning this game outright. They are dogs. If you can get them right now with a field goal, that would be fantastic. Indy is okay, but their games that they've won haven't really been all that impressive. And although the Cowboys' last several games they haven't won by a large margin, although they did cover the 4 points last week against the Eagles, it's the teams that they're beating and how they're beating them. They're beating them on the defensive side of the ball. They're pounding the ball with Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke leading the league in rushing right now. And then you cannot – I don't know who Indianapolis is going to use to cover Amari Cooper. Because that guy – if you just go to Oakland right now with a microphone and say, if you had a do-over, would you trade Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack this season? What would they say?
Oh, Gruden's going to say, of course I would.
Because
he doesn't make mistakes. He's John Gruden.
Yeah, he made. Look, either Oakland wasn't utilizing Amari Cooper properly or the Cowboys are just overfeeding him the ball. I don't know. This kid is fast. He's strong. One thing that the Cowboys have lacked is the ability for a wide receiver to get separation from the defenders. Either the Eagles were that bad last week, but he was always a yard or two away from a defender. Like, there was – outside of that last play in overtime when they tipped the ball and he got it off the tip and scored a touchdown, nobody was near him every time the ball was thrown his way.
Well, Derek Carr isn't
– not that great?
No. I mean, he's
But
I think you have to look at who you're throwing. Who's throwing the ball?
Khalil Mack, sack master, is getting pressure relentlessly in every game. I mean, they were brutal to Jared Goff last week.
Do the Raiders have any other pass rushers there? I have not been. Excuse me for not following the Raiders closely.
I don't
enough.
Have a statistician near me, but I think that we would say that the Raiders have the least one are in the bottom three or four teams in sacks.
So my point there is if Mack is their only threat, the Raiders' only threat this season.
Right.
Defense or offensive lines double, triple team him. They take him out of that game, and he's not effective. And since they have nobody else to play, the Bears have pass rushers. They had pass rushers before they brought Mack in.
Right.
So the fact that an offensive line has to cover 2, 3, 4 really strong pass rushers on the Bears is providing opportunities not just for Mack to be the monster he's been, but for the other guys as well. I think if we go and look at it, I would assume that we're going to see a big jump in their stats from last year to this year just because Mack is on their team. So I don't know if you leave Mack on the Raiders that he's the monster he is
having
this year.
Having the season he's having. That is a fair and valid point, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think it
took
mistake.
Me 15 weeks to come up with one. Come on. No.
I still think they made a huge mistake trading both of those players. But as a Cowboy fan, thank you. I don't see how Indianapolis stops them. I got Dallas. It is the lock of the week. Take Cowboys and the 3 points. They're going to win this game. Challenge game right here. Locking it in. Boom. Boom. Where's my boom? Give me a boom. Boom.
Boom.
There you go. Locking it in, Steve.
Wonderful.
And
so that'll
Lady
be fun.
Edith, as she did last week, has come back to the right side and taken the Dallas Cowboys.
There may have been a little coercion there because she initially did not make that choice. And
really?
I said, do you want to look at that one again? And she did look at it again, and she did then choose
the
Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. So she had taken the Colts. She looked at the little horseshoe and and then, the star.
I believe she was distracted while watching.
Did you have Teletubbies on or Rugrats or Little Einsteins? What was she watching?
She was watching Blippi.
What the heck is Blippi?
Look him up on YouTube.
No, I don't think I want to look up Blippi.
It's going to make you sick how many views this guy gets.
Blippi? People, don't do it. Please. Okay, do it.
Yeah, I don't mean this to be an advertising pitch. I gain nothing by sharing who Blippi is, but
a little dude that looks like a lumberjack?
No, that's a cartoon avatar thing. He's a guy out of, I think, Canada.
So he's got his own action figure?
Sure. Oh, he's got a lot of stuff.
That's Blippi right there? No, wait. That's a United.
But the video you brought up,
hold on.
34 million views.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he talked?
Yeah. 34 million views for this video.
Oh, no, I got to stop that
there. His production budget is him and a guy with a camera following him around children's museums and looking at trucks. And
he's got 3 million subscribers.
Yeah. Trust me, I had no idea who this guy was until 2 years ago when the kids got into him. So.
I'm going to be sick.
I told you.
That's it. Anyways. All right, I got Dallas.
How many subscribers do we have?
Lady Edith has Dallas. And you've got the Indianapolis Colts on your own challenge game, locking it in. All right, next game of the week, the New England Patriots travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. Late game, one of the late games on Sunday afternoon. I wanted to take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
As did I.
Once again, probably not going to have Connor for this game. I can't pull the trigger. I may pull the trigger. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go on record right now. Expect maybe a text Sunday morning. I may pull the trigger on this game. And I just want to see how the rest of the week plays out.
So Brady against the Steelers.
Yeah.
7-1. 23 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Brady looked bad last week, though, against Miami. He made some bone.
But that's Miami.
Plays.
I mean, you almost flipped your pick last week to Miami.
I did. I'm so mad that
all of the replays were coming in on all the other games, how many of the guys in the boxes are talking about, you know, those Dolphins always play the Patriots hard in Miami. I mean, this is like almost common knowledge that Patriots at Miami is never an easy win.
It's Brady's house of horrors. I think he's 4-1 over the last 5 years there.
But Brady hasn't looked horrible.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Every other week.
1-4. He's only won once in Miami over the last 5 years.
Right, yep.
1-4, yeah.
But he hasn't won. I mean, he hasn't looked horrible every other week.
That's true.
He hasn't necessarily looked good every week, but he hasn't looked as bad as he did last week at all this season. So
my thing here is that the Steelers' defense might get to him enough. Look, the one thing we know about Brady is he does not like to get hit.
Right.
And if you start hitting him early, it changes the dynamics of his football game. I don't know. I'm gonna take the pass for now. You go take the pass for now. Lady Edith.
She's liking your Steelers.
She knows something. I need to talk to her. Before I officially make my pick, I'm gonna talk to her. But I got New England for now. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with that.
All right.
You know what? Now I've decided I really want the Chargers. I really want to change my pick to the Chargers and the Steelers because I want the Chargers to be the number one. I want the NFL to have
these
to deal.
Are these gut feelings you're feeling?
Yeah, they are.
We know how well my gut feelings have worked.
No, I'm sticking with my picks, but just so you know, come Thursday and Sunday, I will be cheering against my picks. How about that?
I will agree. I will be doing the exact same.
All right. dude, we have no time left.
Thanks for the show this week. Never mind the other, 10 games we haven't talked about yet.
Let's at least finish the games of the week because they're big. Philadelphia Eagles at 6-7, Sunday night football, travel to Los Angeles to face the Rams. The Rams at 11-2. I can't take Philly in this game.
I see no justification to take Philly here.
Nothing. I mean, even, you know, that they were in that game and they forced overtime against Dallas. They were pretty bad. Yeah, there were a couple bad calls.
They were bad right
them.
Up until what? 5 minutes left
five
in the
minutes
game?
5 minutes left in the game. Yeah. They were being shut out for a long time.
Right.
in that football game. So you can't come to Los Angeles and look, and LA's going to be a little pissed at how they played last week against the Bears.
Yep.
They're going to take it out on Philadelphia. I got the Rams.
Well, and that's the thing is that even if the Eagles make a late comeback and score 20 points, they're already going to be losing by 45.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we all have the Rams there. Lady Edith is on board as well. The New Orleans Saints travel to Carolina, a divisional rivalry matchup to face the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, Carolina has lost, what, four in a row? Three or four in a row?
I think it's four in a row.
Four in a row. They're at 6-7. They are now in danger of making the playoffs.
Five in a row. Panthers have lost five straight.
Five in a row.
They've lost to Detroit, not in this order. Detroit, Tampa, Cleveland, the Steelers, and the Seahawks.
You're trying to tell me that Carolina was at 6-2 at one point? They were 6-2 on top of the world, right behind the Saints. And they've lost five in a row?
They have.
Whoo, mean. Hey, head's going to roll if they don't make the playoffs. And they're in danger of not making the playoffs.
Very much so.
And this week
isn't going to help
them. Yeah, they win this game. That's going to be six in a row. Man, yeah, because look, I think – so everybody was like early in that game last week against Tampa Bay, was like, oh, what's going on with the Saints? They don't look the same. And then all of a sudden it was like flip a switch.
You blinked and they were up by 20.
I don't think they're going to have a problem with Carolina. The crazy thing is with the schedule, they play Carolina twice in 3 weeks. They play them this week, they have a game next week, and then they play Carolina again to finish the season. That's a little weird. I understand, you know, a long time ago on this show, we had Mike North, the director of scheduling for the NFL, and he kind of explained how they go about putting it. It is tough work.
Yeah.
Scheduling 256 games. You got to make sure that you follow all the rules. You know, every team plays its teams in this division twice, and then every 4 years, they got another division from the AFC, another division from the NFC. And then the other two games are you play the other three games, you play the team that finished with your same ranking within your division, the other three teams that finished the same ranking. And those and then you got to like home and away, who gets the home. It is tough. So I do not begrudge them anything. But that is hard for the Carolina Panthers that they got to host the Saints this week. They got to go play next week somewhere else. And then they got to end the season going back to the Saints again. Two out of 3 weeks, you got probably one of the best teams in the NFL that you got to play. It's not really inspiring a lot of confidence for Carolina. I got the Saints very easily in this game.
I have the Saints. I agree that they're very likely going to win this game. The only thing kicking here is since 2000, the Saints are 4-5.
Not good
at Carolina, and 1-2 in the last 3 years. So,
yeah.
But I think we're dealing with two different teams on both sides of the ball here. So, Saints pull this one out.
Oddly enough, little Lady Edith likes the Carolina Panthers. But she's been liking Carolina a lot. Maybe she is the bad juju for the Carolina Panthers. Because I think since she started picking them, they've been losing.
That might be. Like please don't tell any Panther fans where I live.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Keeping that a secret. Time is up, but we're not even listening to you, little time's up thing. So we got New Orleans. You got New Orleans. Lady Edith has Carolina. We're going to do the three games of importance, and then we're just going to give you winners for the West. Games of importance. Minnesota at 6-6-1 is hosting the Miami Dolphins at 7-6. This is another one of those games where I was really clicked to closing Miami. I don't know if that win last week is either going to propel them and they're going to win out, or they just was like a nice touchy-feely story. Did you see us how we beat the Patriots at the end? What the heck was Gronkowski even doing on the football field? and then they lose. I just think that Minnesota needs this more. Minnesota loses this game.
A lot of questions come in.
Ooh-wee.
Like, they are on the verge of missing the playoffs after.
Have you ever attended a game in Minnesota?
No, I have not.
I have yet to show you some of the videos that I got from there, Steve. Their skull chant kind of is a little creepy and creeped me out a little bit, but it's also pretty cool. So you got to see that video because that was wild. Then I told you that was the night that Randy Moss got his Hall of Fame ring.
Right, yep.
3M in their magazines, they put a magazine on everyone's seat, and they had put like this little purple thing with a piece of adhesive, and you were supposed to cover your phone light and then turn your phone light, and it would turn it purple. So there were all these purple flashlights, and everyone's like, how did it get purple flashlights? Well, I know because I was there. It's little purple. It's just on your phone, which I thought was the coolest thing.
70,000 purple lights, yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty awesome, and I got video of that. Not that you want to see this because that was the night that they were beating your team. I almost got beat up, by the way, because I was cheering for the Packers. I don't know why I was cheering for the Packers in the Minnesota Viking game, but there you go.
Because we're friends.
Yeah, we
are.
And
that's
friends.
What friends that's do what friends, is yeah, take a beating from a Vikings fan for no rational reason whatsoever.
Who you got in this game, man?
I'm right there with you that I really, really am tempted to take Miami, but I agree. I think Minnesota has more to play for here. They're at home. They're a little embarrassed here coming off of the loss to Seattle. They're out for blood.
The Packers, actually, because the Packers look like, you know, they wanted to prove something without McCarthy or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Minnesota offense.
They wanted to prove a lot of things, including the officials don't know what they're doing in the first minute and a half anyway.
Minnesota Vikings, maybe their offense shows up now that DeFilippo's gone. All right, we all got Minnesota, even Lady Edith. Moving on, the Tennessee Titans travel to New York to face the Giants. Now.
So why do we have this as a game of importance?
Because
Tennessee is
it's
in
a game
hunt?
Of importance for Tennessee.
Okay.
I mean, they got to keep winning, right?
Right, yep.
To stay in the playoff hunt. Plus the Giants are, you know, Giants can finish at 8-8. They can win out. Not that that's going to get them into the playoffs, but they can win out.
Maybe. They could. They could beat the Titans. They could beat the Colts and then the Cowboys. Yeah. The
Cowboys aren't going to have anything to play. They're not going to play any starters week 17. That's Jason Garrett's MO.
All right. So they could win out.
After next week, the Cowboys literally, I already said, basically the Bears have to lose two games for the Cowboys to move to the three spot. That's not going to happen.
Right.
And so without that happening, they won't play it. Jason Garrett, he has shown, I will rest my starters week 17. I don't got a problem with that. So they could win out. It's a game of importance. Okay. It's important to Tennessee.
Very important for Tennessee. Okay. You sold me. Okay. I'm done with my protest.
Plus, I'm also taking the New York Giants in this one.
Well, that's what I can't figure out. So please, educate me.
Look, Tennessee is...
They're 4-2 in their last six.
Yeah, but it's those two losses that concern me.
The Colts and the Texans?
Yes.
We just talked about the Colts are pretty tough. Hell, I'm taking them against your Cowboys.
You are, and it's crazy. That's why I locked
Texans,
it in as a challenge.
The Texans
game.
Running 9 straight.
Right.
Game 7 of that.
But in the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night, it was a game where they dominated, and they never really looked like they dominated. Until the end. The final score obviously showed them that they
right.
whooped up on Jacksonville. But Jacksonville was in that game for a pretty long time. And I'm still not sure about Marcus Mariota. I like this kid coming out of college. I watched every Oregon game when he was playing up there. But he's been in the league long enough now where he should not be making some of the mistakes that he's making. If it
True.
Were not for Derrick Henry's heroics on Thursday night, I'm not sure that, you know, that they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars as badly. Dude had a 99 run. He came in to tie Tony Dorsett's record on Monday Night Football. That was pretty impressive. Okay, I've said enough.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm taking the Giants. It may be a gut feeling. It may be one of your guts, not my gut, because my gut would be really too big. It's your gut. You're pretty lean.
Well, your guts tend to be better than my guts.
Yeah, it's a gut feeling. I'm taking the Giants.
Yeah, I'm I'm going with Tennessee. I think, as we talked about, it's important to them. They're trying to play into the playoffs here.
Yeah. No, it could. The other thing is that New York's at home. I don't know if Tennessee's been that great on the road.
On the road.
Can you give me that stat, please?
Tennessee. Come on. I'm getting there. Tennessee is 2-5 away.
Yeah.
But the Giants are 2-4 at home.
True, but that was all in the beginning. That was in the beginning when they were nasty. I mean, they were nasty poo-poo in the beginning. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game. I may even want to – well, no, I can't watch that game because I'm watching Cowboys-Colts. All right. Final game of importance. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Baltimore to face the Ravens. I like Baltimore in this game. I think they're going to bounce back. Look, if you were not impressed by how Baltimore played against Kansas City last week, then you don't get impressed. That's just your problem.
Yeah,
that should have been impressive how they played against Kansas City. Showed they could play with the big boys. Lamar, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what any Harbaugh says. This is Lamar Jackson's football team. You cannot bring Flacco out anymore after that showing last week against the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, I think Flacco is done.
Yeah. They take care of business in this one. They'll take care of Tampa.
Now that you've brought Jackson in, he's the future. It's going to be hard to go back.
Yeah, and the Baltimore Ravens, they're in a fight.
And the only way you go back is if Flacco wins out for you and plays Mahomes good.
Right.
And I just don't see that happening.
No. But with how the Pittsburgh Steelers are struggling right now, guess who's just a half game back?
Yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens. The NFC North there, it's far from over who's going to win that division.
AFC North.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The AFC North. Yeah, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are in danger of even making the playoffs.
Right. The Ravens have the Bucs. They're at the Chargers. And then they host the Browns in week 17.
So outside of that Chargers game, two very winnable games.
Right.
Pittsburgh's got the Patriots this week, the Saints the week after that, and who they close out with?
Bengals. Okay. Host the Bengals.
Okay, well, the Bengals are, you know.
So let's,
oh
I mean,
my God.
It's going to be a challenge to.
If the Steelers end at 8-7-1, I don't think they get in at 8-7-1.
No.
Wow, that would be tough. That would be a tough pill to swallow for Pittsburgh fans. All right, I've got Baltimore.
I've got Baltimore.
And Lady Edith also has Baltimore. Steve, we're going to rapid fire in succession here. We got two games of interest only because I could not bring myself to have 8 nap games.
Yep.
Okay, there are 6 nap games already, but here are some interesting games. You got Denver 6-7 hosting the Cleveland Browns. I got Cleveland. This is a gut feeling. Denver, maybe it might be because I'm mad at Denver. My locks, I'm 10-4 in my locks. Okay, I lost last week. You know who I lost? Denver, who should have crushed San Francisco, and they lost outright. 2 of my losses, of that 10-4, 2 of them are the stinking freaking Denver Broncos. Never taking those dudes again. I got Cleveland. I hope Cleveland goes in there and wipes the face of the planet with the freaking Denver Broncos. It's disgusting. And that game's on Saturday, by the way. There's 2 games on Saturday. We were remiss to tell you guys, this is one of the Saturday games. There's another game, the snap game.
Now that the NCAA is done playing for a few weeks. Until next year when they put a expanded college football playoff in. Whatever.
I'm done. I'm down with that, though. I'm down with that because UCF not being in the championship playoffs with a perfect undefeated record, that is injustice. That is just simply not fair.
Georgia playing Alabama down to the wire.
And not being able to get it.
They're on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. That's a different show.
Absolutely.
That's a different show that we don't do.
College football rants and raves. Let's go.
I have a hard enough time with 32 teams. You want to be 100 and some?
56, 58? No. I got Cleveland. You got.
I'm going with Denver.
Lady has got Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I'm going with Denver here, until their little fall here to San Francisco the last week, they won 3 straight, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals. 2 of those are really good wins.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, and that's why I thought they had turned a corner.
If their defense can hold back Mayfield.
They didn't turn a corner, Steve.
Yeah.
I thought they turned the corner. You know what? They went to turn the corner, and they bounced off the side of the wall. They tried. They took it to, and they just fell backwards. I'm done with them. The Green Bay Packers traveled to Chicago to face the Bears. Look, I really want to take the Packers. I really do. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest, I'm in a couple fantasy football playoffs. I need the Packers to do good because I got Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. And in a couple of those leagues, not only is Aaron Rodgers my quarterback, I got Davante Adams as my wide receiver. I need those guys to have a huge game. I need them to put up 50 burger against the Chicago Bears. But it's not going to happen. Did you see what Chicago did to the Rams? I mean, did you see what that defense did to the Rams?
Yeah.
Did you see what that defense did to the Rams? That's it.
Right. So
6 points.
Yeah.
6 points.
Yeah. But how often do the Rams play the Bears?
Not now.
That all sorts of people are out here arguing that, well, the Rams came to Chicago where it was 35 degrees. Whatever. No. So? Yeah. That I don't believe is the reason they didn't win.
Right.
It's two teams that don't see each other often enough. Here you got Packers Bears. All right. These guys wake up in the morning thinking about the other one.
The frozen land of Lambeau Field. Although
this is at Chicago.
Soldier Field.
Soldier Field. Singular, not plural, by the way.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So I
haven't had a chance to look it up. My gut is last week Aaron was holding the ball less. Right. So if you remember week one when they beat the Bears.
Yeah.
Aaron comes out limping in the second half, completely changed the game plan. So instead of sitting back, waiting
holding
for a receiver and holding the ball for 3.5 seconds,
he started getting rid of
half a second drop, doesn't even let Khalil Mack get past the line of scrimmage before the ball is out of his hands. I haven't run the numbers. I think last week that's what we saw. That's why we saw Rodgers be more aggressive, is that he wasn't holding the ball. So if he can get that ball out of his hands before the pass rush gets home, I think the Packers can win this game. It's going to be tough. I mean, the Packers defense isn't great.
Yep.
But Trubisky has been, so hot and cold, and sometimes he's great, sometimes he's just horrible. So I got the Packers here, probably more out of my fandom than out of logic, but I do think, much like we saw in the first week, that if Rodgers can get this ball out of his hands quickly and trust his receivers to be where they should be, that the Packers can beat the Bears.
They're getting 5.5 points. I actually like this line. I may have to place a little wager on it. But there you go. Lady Edith also, of course, with the Green Bay Packers.
Of course.
All right, nap games. Houston at Jets. Houston.
Houston.
Lady Edith asks Houston.
Houston, yep.
Arizona at Atlanta.
All three of us have Atlanta.
Detroit at Buffalo.
We're all on Detroit.
Oakland at Cincinnati.
You and I have Oakland. Lady Edith is on the Bengals.
Yeah, why do I have Oakland again?
Because it's the Bengals.
Yeah, I know, but they're at home, and, God, the Raiders are just, they're bad. Washington at Jacksonville.
You and I both have Jacksonville. Lady Edith is running with Washington.
Does she know that it's either Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson?
She is aware.
Okay, all right, just making sure that she knew that. Seattle at San Francisco.
We're all running with Seattle.
Yeah, of course, come on. That's the 49ers, dude.
So, going back real quick, Oakland, Bengals. Bengals have lost 7 of 8. That's why we're with Oakland.
Yeah, that is why. Plus, Driscoll was in the game for most of the game last week. Did Dalton get hurt? I missed something in that game. Because now I got to look it up real quick. And no, I mean, I don't see anything about him getting hurt in that game. No, yeah, he done for the season? Yeah, it looks like he's out. He got hurt last week, and he probably is done for the season. Why do you do that to me, TV? All right.
A little plug for Geico. I'm sure we'll get the check in the mail there soon.
Yeah, we will. So Oakland, there you go. I'm sticking with Oakland.
Yep,
I
am too.
I don't like the Driscoll machine.
Well, I just saying it out loud just tasted wrong in my mouth as well. So we had to go back and check the notes as to absolutely why we both went with
why are we doing it this again? All right. This has been the longest show this season as we approach 1 hour and 20 minutes. We just have too much fun, dude.
We do,
You can't, can't do that. And you extending my rant on the Revs.
Oh, that was fun. Come on.
That was.
Just because I wouldn't answer the cheese question.
Who ate the cheese?
A mouse.
Wearing a green jersey.
Wearing a green jersey.
There you go. There's no doubt 100% that that is what happened. But am I sorry for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Not at all.
Heck no. Not one bit. Once again, wherever you are and however you're listening to the show, thank you very much. I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.